On Monday's front page, BP is looking to leave the damaged well in the Gulf closed until it's permanently plugged, meaning no more oil will spill into the Gulf. It's a case of unusual allies. Christian evangelical leaders are joining with the Obama administration when it comes to overhauling immigration laws. And what fast-paced New York is doing to make living in the city easier for older people. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the custom-built cap that finally cut off the oil spewing from BP's well in the Gulf is holding steady. The company hopes to leave it that way until crews can permanently kill the leak. That differs from the plan the federal government laid out on Saturday. That strategy could have meant releasing millions of gallons of oil before the cap is connected to tankers on the surface. Retired Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen, who's commanding the spill response, says the pressure test on the cap could be extended 24 hours at a time. Times reporter Henry Fountain says the issue now is whether the test will ever officially end. It might just continue indefinitely. In Pakistan, taxes are widening the divide between rich and poor. Tax regulations tend to favor the wealthy, and that includes members of parliament who write the rules. That's fueling an insurgency and complicating U.S. policy. Retired Pakistani tax official Riaz Hussain Naqvi says it's a system of the elite, by the elite, and for the elite. In recent years, Pakistan has started taxing profits from the stock market and real estate, but agriculture remains untaxed, and it's a major moneymaker. Monday's front page follows unemployed people who've gone through job training programs only to remain out of work. One of those people is 49-year-old Israel Valley. He used to be an executive assistant to a fashion designer here in New York. He spent 6 weeks at a federally financed job training center in Brooklyn. He learned about spreadsheets and word processing and tinkered with his resume. But the job interviews he went on were mobbed, and he's still unemployed. Influential Christian evangelical leaders are lining up with the White House in support of immigration overhaul. They favor a path to legalization for illegal immigrants who are already here. Religious lawyer Matthew Staver says he's a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order, but he says that on this issue, President Obama's right. Politically active Hispanic pastors have been working to convince black and white ministers that immigration reform should be a priority. Also on Monday's front page, a look at the Betancourt affair, named for the heiress to the L'Oreal cosmetics fortune, 87-year-old Lillianne Betancourt. It began as a family fight, with her daughter charging that Mrs. Betancourt's entourage has been manipulating her to steal her fortune. Now it's shaken the office of French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Paris correspondent Stephen Erlanger says Sarkozy's sometimes clumsy efforts to contain the scandal have been similar to BP's efforts in the Gulf, and the problem is far from over. Sarkozy's labor minister remained subject to investigations into Mrs. Betancourt and illegal political contributions and tax evasion. Fast-paced, youth-oriented New York is trying to make things kinder and gentler for older people. In the jargon of the moment, the city's becoming age-friendly. That means more time to cross the street at some 400 intersections. It also means school buses that take older people on grocery runs. And the city's about to set up aging improvement districts that'll be safer and more accessible. By 2030, more than 1 in 8 New Yorkers will be over 65. That's a jump of 44% from 2000. Inside Monday's Times, suicide bombers in Iraq killed at least 47 former insurgents. A campaign aimed at people who switched loyalties struck at an army base in Baghdad where people were lining up to get their paychecks, and also in Anbar province. The dead in Baghdad were mainly members of the Awakening Movement, composed mostly of Sunnis who were former insurgents, but some Iraqi army soldiers died in the blast. Afghanistan and Pakistan signed a landmark trade agreement. Times reporter Mark Landler says that could signal a thaw between two perennially suspicious neighbors. Trade negotiations have dragged on since 1965. The U.S. nudged things along with Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton's visit to Islamabad this week. A Treasury Department audit says President Obama's auto task force pushed GM and Chrysler to close scores of dealerships without knowing how much money that would save. TARP Inspector General Neil Barofsky says some underperforming dealers needed to be shut down, but he's questioning whether the timing was right. He says it's not clear the closings were good for the economy or necessary for the carmakers to survive. The debt worries in Europe seem to be fading a little. That's enough for Monday's Business Day section to ask, are investors crisis'd out on Europe? There have been well-subscribed bond auctions in Portugal and Italy, and there are also signs that German industry is growing more strongly than expected. But Europe's also gotten a big break. The U.S. economy is showing signs of renewed weakness. That's changing some investors' psychology. Monday's Business Day section also says that fashion magazines like Glamour are bulking up. So is Vanity Fair. Glamour says ad pages are up 57% for its September issue, compared with September of last year. Glamour did have a special hook this time around. It began selling ads for its forthcoming iPad app. Advertisers who bought an iPad spot had to buy space in the print magazine. Monday's art section says movies don't have to be sequels or animated to do big box office business in the summer. That explains why the Leonardo DiCaprio thriller Inception was number one over the weekend. It racked up $60.4 million in ticket sales, according to Hollywood.com, which keeps track of these things. That was the biggest opening of DiCaprio's career. Things weren't so good for Walt Disney Studios and producer Jerry Bruckheimer. Their action fantasy, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, had a disastrous weekend, selling just $17.4 million in tickets. That brought its five-day total to $24.5 million. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. Remember, you can tell us what you think of the Front Page Podcast by sending us an email. The address is podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.